Hi. I bring you tidings of great joy. I am very excited about what I'm about to share, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to just come and to speak your word. I pray right now that you will just still our hearts and minds in ready anticipation to receive from you. I come against any distractions or hindrances that will get in the way of you speaking to us. And I just pray that you meet each and every one of us here today at our point of need. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. Whoa, the printing is so small, sorry, but it'll be fine. Right, so it says, do not be afraid. And it's true, because we've got a God that is greater and a God who cares about us. When I started to think about what these things meant from this passage, and I don't know if you want it in front of you, because I will be referring to it a bit. And I started to do a bit of research. I got really excited because it shifted my perspective and put God back right in focus. I believe that the words of this passage are particularly relevant to New Hope during this season. And I pray that by the end of our time together, the Holy Spirit will stir up faith and hope and love in all our hearts. In the verses leading up to these ones, Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear, etc. And this leads into the passage today. Do not be afraid. Sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and so on. The example Jesus gives, a treasure in heaven where no thief comes near or moth destroys, asks us to shift our focus. What takes up most of our brain power and energy? Are we consumed with the physical and things we can see? Or do we fix our gaze upon higher things, the things of the kingdom? Things of heaven, the eternal, things that will not decay. Verse 32 says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. In order to really receive this in our heart of hearts, we have to have the right perspective of who God is. And I think the series that we did last term was really good at challenging our narratives about God and helped to shift a lot of our false narratives that we may have had. It has pleased the Father to give us the kingdom. He does not want to withhold from us. Let me repeat that. He does not want to withhold from us. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. We may know intellectually that God is good and generous, but our experiences may not always confirm this. I heard a speaker suggest that sometimes it seems we have painted a Santa Claus image of God in our mind's eye. The fat, white-bearded man upstairs. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. And if that's the case, we live in a constant low-level state of anxiety, wondering if we are on God's nice list or not. What hoops do we have to jump through in order for him to want to bless us? Ephesians 1:4-8 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us, I love that, with all wisdom and understanding. It has pleased the Father to give us the kingdom. The kingdom which consists in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 34 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I looked up a few different translations to see how they put it. And the Message translation says, the place where your treasure is the place where you will most want to be and end up being. New Living Translation says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And the Passion Translation says, where you deposit your treasure, that is where your thoughts will turn to, and your heart will long to be there also. So I've always seen this phrase, and I was like, oh, I don't really understand it. So I said it over and over to myself. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Just before this verse, Jesus challenges his listeners to sell their possessions and give to the poor. Depending on where your treasure is placed, this statement will invoke several responses in you. To the rich young man in Luke 18, when he asked God, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus mentions the commandments, which the ruler said, yes, I've kept that. Tick. And then Jesus addressed the state of his heart. You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. The Bible says, when he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus was challenging what the rich ruler held most dear. In contrast, Paul is an example of someone whose focus was shifted completely towards Christ. Philippians 4:12-13 says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And the emphasis for me is in that I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Christ is at the center of Paul's being. Everything he does flows from that central focus. And there's so many examples of how Paul thinks like that. I'll read a couple more verses of it. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal. And again in Colossians 3:1-3, he says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. I don't believe that God does not want us to have wealth here on earth. I want to make that clear. But I do think he wants to make sure that our hope and trust is in the right place. 1 Timothy 6, 6-10 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with grief." And I'll give one more verse and I'll move from there. It's Hebrews 13:5. "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Where does your trust lie? Do you have total confidence in the fact that the Lord of the universe holds you in the palm of his hand? That he will never leave you nor forsake you? That he knows what you need before you even ask? That he will do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine? Where does your treasure lie? In God or in money? In God or in our ability to do and work things out on our own? The Clark commentary has a great sentence about this verse. It says, "Let God be the treasure of your soul, and let your heart go frequently to the place where his honor dwelleth." Verse 35 says, "Be dressed and ready for service, and keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open up the door for him." I see this as a tool for us to use instead of worry and fear. Be dressed and ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. A time of waiting doesn't mean do nothing. Get up daily, put on the armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes fitted with the readiness that comes for the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. Be clothed in humility. Put on the garment of praise. Adorn yourself with a robe of righteousness. And all this will prevent you from dwelling in your own mind with fear and worry. It will help you shift your focus outward and once again back to God. Just as Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve, let us keep our lamps burning and be ready for service. As New Hope, keep our doors open to those who need to know that God loves them. Let us serve our community. Get involved in areas of service, both at church, but also further afield. I love how the psalmist says in Psalm 18:21, "You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light." Again, his focus is on God. His strength and purpose is drawn from God. Not self-reliance, not individualistic thinking. May God be the source of all strength and hope and purpose. May everything we do point us and those who watch us right back to Jesus, just how he pointed everything back to the Father. When we are in this posture, we can then immediately open the door for him when he comes. because we are ready. And then this leads me to the verse that once it seeped in, I was just like, thank you, Lord. This is what we need. Verse 37. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. He will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. When there was a banquet, it was customary for the host to serve his guest. I didn't know that, so I was like, oh, that's really cool. And so then when you flip it on its head, this becomes such a beautiful picture, because God is going to show up and he will serve us. He is going to minister to us his grace and love and healing. He will restore our souls. Our cups will overflow. And he will have us recline at the table while he waits on us. Be encouraged. The reason God tells us not to worry is not because he wants to dismiss our concerns. He doesn't want us to worry because he doesn't want us to carry a burden that was never ours to carry in the first place. Fear and worry affect us, not God. God wants us whole. Matthew 11:28-29 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God asks us to remain alert and ready so that when he appears, we can enjoy him. So don't fall asleep on him now because you don't know his plan. Don't switch off because you are frustrated and tired of waiting. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I believe that God wants to give us good things. His desire is to be in relationship with us, and he wants to look after us, to lavish us with his grace. But first, we need to look at the state of our hearts. Are there things that we are holding on to too tightly that is restricting us from being able to open up our arms to him? If we need to give up these things, we need to give up these things, sell them and give the profits to help others in need. In doing that, we will free us from, in giving up, it will free us, and then we can wait in eager anticipation for what God has in store for us. So don't pace up and down in anxiety. Be dressed and ready for service. And he will show up. And when he does come, he wants to serve you. For some of us, this may be really uncomfortable to think of. Surely we serve him. Any Marthas in the house? Remember when Jesus washed his disciples' feet? Peter did not want him to wash his feet. And then after Jesus' response to him, Peter was like, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Let that be our response. A consistent message that God has placed on my heart for the last 3 years, those of you close to me will know, is be still and know that I am God. And it is with this dance that I'm going to end. Be still. Amen.